Willkommen zum Christoph Hess Podcast, präsentiert von Anrecht Investment. In diesem Podcast taucht Christoph Hess tief in die Werdegänge unterschiedlichster Pferdemenschen ein und spricht mit ihnen über den emotionalen Wert, den Pferde in ihrem Leben haben. Ob Reiter, Influencer, Tierärzte oder andere Persönlichkeiten der Pferdewelt. Gemeinsam beleuchten wir, wie wir im Zeitalter von Social License für die Akzeptanz unseres Sports sorgen und unsere Reiterwelt positiv gestalten können. Mehr über das Projekt Harmonie, Fairness und Fairplay von Anrecht Investment erfahrt ihr in den Shownotes.
I'm very happy sitting next to Jesse Dieter. Very warm welcome here in Warendorf.
Thank you.
You had a great morning today. Julia Krajewski had to say goodbye in Warendorf, and she did it in a very special way. In which way did she do it, and why are you here in Warendorf today?
So it was great. Julia chose to do her goodbye, to make our film part of her goodbye to her community here in Warendorf. And I came, actually I brought myself here mostly, because I wanted to honor Julia, because she gave me so generously, she gave me her time over the past, you know, I met her in 2019, so the past.
Where did you meet her, and what was the reason that you had a very, very good contact since a couple of years now?
Yeah, so I met her at Le Moulin in 2019, and when I began the film, I knew that the Germans or the Brits were going to win the gold at Tokyo, because the Americans were not doing so well as a team. So it was important for me to make contact with German riders and British riders. And I met Julia, and honestly, she was the one person, the one German rider, who I had a strong connection with from the beginning. And I just got very lucky that I maintained this connection. I knew I wanted to feature a German, and she was the only one really who I had the connection with. And so I just kept in touch, and the story went from there.
Amazing. And at the end, she was gold medal winner in Tokyo 2 years later. But back to you. What is your background? Why did you start a project like this?
I'm crazy. No.
Crazy. I yes. just thought you should be a little bit crazy. Yes.
You must no, be you a little crazy, bit crazy to do this, like much like to do eventing, right? You, as a filmmaker, you try to find something that my teacher used to say was a better film than a book. Like if it's a better book, then it's certainly easier to write a book than it is to make a movie. But you also want to find something, if you have a passion project, that you are uniquely qualified to do, a story that nobody knows about, ideally, that you can uniquely bring to the screen. And I was an eventer, an amateur eventer for many years, and I thought, wow, it's pretty amazing that especially in America, nobody knows there's an extreme sport with horses where women compete as complete equals with and against men, and no one up till that time had won, no woman had won the individual gold. And I thought, well, that would be, because you always look for a journey also, like a beginning, middle, and end. Well, that could be pretty interesting to see, can a woman do it?
Wow. And and then at the end of the day, you had the right idea, the golden idea, and then you had the gold lady, Julia Krajewski. So therefore you had a like a Hollywood movie at the end of the day, a wonderful finishing line. And who are the other writers you had in your mind? Because you had not only Julia, who was in Germany, maybe a second or third woman, and especially in US, no, in not US, in Great Britain, sorry.
Yeah, well, I began, you know, in 2018 even, I began with a spreadsheet, like an Excel spreadsheet, and I had maybe 24 horses and riders that could be, my goal was even to get a couple that would go to the Olympics. My goal wasn't even, I didn't think that necessarily they would win, but I had all these combinations training in the US, in the UK, all over. I'd followed a South African. So I spent many days interviewing other riders and other horses. You know, the British, I spent a lot of time with the Brits before COVID, and then COVID happened and it closed down the UK. So there went my British characters. You know, that's why in the film you see a little bit of Pippa Funnel, you see a little bit of Piggy March, because that's, you know, it wasn't their story at the end of the day. It ended up being Tammy Smith from America and Lauren Billies from Puerto Rico, who's an individual, but she lives and trains in California. And so therefore it was easier for me to follow their stories because they lived where I'd live, which is California.
And when you look from the from your place in the world, west part of the US, when you look to Europe, what is the difference in the horse world, in your part of the world, and UK, Germany, Central Europe?
That's it's funny because I think in some respects, you know, the horse community on the west coast of the US is very different to the horse community on the east coast, and in some ways those differences are even larger. I mean, I think I don't know in depth, like I enter kind of as an alien, right? I enter and then I get very much absorbed in individual characters and their and their lives. And so I think that it's more, for me, it was more about the commonalities, right? Like to a person, these women were all so dedicated and such hard workers. And in the film, we talk about, like, I think it's, people think, especially in America, that if you ride horses, then you're rich, and it's a rich person's sport. But all the women I ended up following, they have owners. They don't own their horses. They have syndicates, or they have single owners. They have horses, as you know, that can be bought and sold, you know, because the way they make their living is they can't afford these horses. A lot of them, whether they train or whether they're also buying and selling horses, they it's a hustle. You know, and it's kind of like filmmaking in a lot of ways, in that it's, you have to be so dedicated and you have to be so passionate, because there's certainly easier ways to make a living, right? And it's just, and they all have this connection, you know, to these horses, and that's why they, none of them can see themselves doing anything else. I think
when you look from today's point of view, having all these experience, looking from the east coast of US, knowing a little bit about the west coast of US, looking to England, Ireland, and then Central Europe, what do you think is special? Are the special skills which a woman needs to become a good eventing rider, to compete successfully?
I mean, I think that one of the points of the film, and I found, I was kind of surprised, like when I began the film, I thought, oh, well, there was certainly some magic formula, right? And so I asked some of the best coaches. I asked Chris Bartle, I asked Dickie Waygood, I asked Eric Duvander. I said, what to you makes the best riders in the world? And to a person, they pretty much said, you have to want it that much more, you know? And Julia says, and the reason I open the film with each of the women as little girls, and you can see they're not any better than anybody else. Like, they're just little girls, you know? Lauren says, I was a really bad rider, but I was really stubborn, you know? And Julia at the end of the film says, I wasn't different from any other girl. You know, you have to work hard, you have to want it, you know, but you have to, I think part of the point of the film is you have to be dedicated and work hard and you have to have luck. But I would hope that the takeaway is that anybody can also do it, you know? It's not like there's a magic formula, I think. I thought there would be. I was like, oh, well, is it just talent? And they're like, the coaches say there are plenty of really talented riders that don't become gold medal winners, you know?
When you look from today's point of view, and look back 2019, is there a difference for your feeling that you started the project with this vision, and when you had finished, you had another prospect, other ideas? Did you learn I can ask the question another direction. Did you learn a lot during this period?
I did learn a lot. I mean, again, I view like the the process of making this film was very similar in some regards to the journeys of these women who face so many trials and tribulations, and we all kind of face the hardship of COVID in different ways. Like, it was equally hard for all myself and the three writers I end up focusing on. It was brutal. It was devastating. And I think all of us, if you asked all of us independently, I think we would have all said, I was really ready to give up at multiple times in the making of this film. But there, I learned from the writers, and I watched their perseverance, and then there was always somebody who would believe in me, whether it was my husband or whether it was, you know, an executive producer who joined the team who didn't even know about horses. And he, you know, he saw, like, wow, when we got Julia and she won the gold medal winner, he's like, this is like one of the best sports stories I've ever heard of, you know? So yeah, I actually did not think I would get a gold medal winner. I literally, when I began the project, I thought, oh, well, I'll be lucky if I get one person who even goes to the Olympics, because it's that difficult. You know, it's horses. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, I'll be lucky if one of the characters I follow makes it to Tokyo.
Also, it is, at the end of the day, it is like a Hollywood movie, because you have the star 5 years, or from today's point of view, five years earlier you started the project, or from today's point, maybe nearly 6 years. But when you started 2019, Julia was a top rider in Germany, shortlisted for the Olympic Games, but she was not in the team. And then a year later, not 2020, but 2021, we had the Olympic Games, which was, in this situation for her, very good. What would you have done if Julia wouldn't have come, as an example, into the German team or didn't win the gold medal? Would it be a film at the end of the day, Hoof Dreams? Or would you finish the project and said, oh, bad luck?
I mean, honestly, if Julia hadn't made the team, and if I hadn't, I do know for a fact that the reason I got financial backing at a very critical point was because she won. And so if I didn't get, because after COVID, everything constricted in the filmmaking world. And so it was no longer going to be enough just to have some writer who made it to the Olympics. So I wouldn't have been able to sell the film, honestly. I don't think the film would have been finished had Julia not won. I don't think so, because the climate was so difficult. Mm-hmm. The climate to make money and the climate to get your films off the ground, it really changed. So yeah, I didn't think about it like that, because by then I was so far in it. Yeah. But yeah, I don't think it would be a finished film. Absolutely, yeah.
Are you a typical American film producer, you?
Am I typical? I don't know. I think it's typical that you either do independent film or you do big budget films, and I've had the good fortune in my career of doing both. So I do big budget films with HBO, you know, for things about like people like Elon Musk. Mm-hmm. And then I have done my own passion projects like this one, like one about the revolution in the Arab Spring in Tunisia that are very independent. You know, and I think that I've learned very different lessons from both. I don't know that that's totally typical.
When spectators are coming, what is your vision? What should they say when they go home to their partner who wasn't with them in the cinema? Why do you did produce it with which ideas in your head?
I mean, I think it's different for each film. Like for this film, I would hope that they would go home and they would think like, wow, a couple things. Like I would hope that they could think like, I could do this really hard, amazing thing that I want to do, whether it's become an Olympian or whether it's start a new company or whether it's just even try to get a job, you know, whatever it is. Because look at those people, and like they really at some points didn't think they were going to make it. So if they at some points didn't think they were going to make it, and they were super depressed, and they had these really difficult things, and at some point they didn't want to continue, but yet they did, you know, that, I think for this one, that's what I would like them to leave with, you know? And also like, for non-horse people to be aware of, like, of this whole other world and this whole other wonderful sport and this whole other type of communication that you can have with these animals, I think is something that I would like to highlight and show, you know, in addition to this resilience and all these other things. And also athletes writ large, I think people are starting to become aware of how difficult it is to become, forget an Olympian, but just at the top of any sport. It takes a toll mentally on you, and I think that if this film could be part of that conversation, I think that would be something that I would really, that I hadn't anticipated. But that also came out of the film. I would like that to happen as well.
Therefore, you can learn a lot for your normal life. As you learn, are you a horse person, a horse woman, a horse man? Something, how to deal with horses, how to handle horses, how to train intensively, and so on and so on. Being a good, being a good horseman, a good horsewoman, but on the other side, we have to learn skills for the real life, for the other part of life. And what did you learn?
As a rider, I think there certainly I would go home after watching, I got to watch so many amazing lessons. I would just go home inspired, right? And be, and think even as an amateur eventer, I can be better. Like I can certainly be better. I can be more quiet, more still, more forgiving, you know, all those things as a rider I definitely learned. But as a person, again, I think you just, it's not that dramatic. Like, but the grind of like, getting up every morning and early and do it and putting in the work and putting in the time and putting in the dedication, even to make my craft of filmmaking better, I think I learned a lot about that as well.
Yeah, thank you very much indeed, because I think this is, from my point of view, so important that we know how important horses are for us to be, I would say, at the end of the day, better humans.
Right? Yeah.
Can we see this movie, this film project in the German language in the future?
I hope so. The lovely Laura has just subtitled it into German. And so I do hope that we will do a deal with German television, where it will be broadcast on German television. But we're also hoping to do, there may be another deal or two, but in German language, that would be, German television would be the way for that to happen. Yeah, right now you can see it in English without the German subtitles on video on demand. Yeah, but if you want to see it in German, we're trying to do that deal as well. Yeah.
What was in this project the most fascinating part for you as a producer?
Every project teaches you something, and I would say in terms of just like the geeky detail of my craft was something my husband taught me early. You know, we were thinking, because he's been around me competing and riding, and we thought, well, this is a big challenge as a documentary filmmaker. You have to film these very, very, very high-strung, very sensitive animals during these very high pressure competitions, and you want to be, if you see the film, we're in the warm-up rings with them, we're very, very close, we're right there as they're getting on, getting off, and you have to, like, the last thing I wanted to do was impact anybody's performance at all. Like, you know, horse people are also very superstitious, and if you're standing by the water and the horse crashes, you know, the stakes were really high. And so we had to figure out a way where we could film really close to the horses and not impact their performance at all. And so what we figured was I would have either my husband or another camera person outside of the arena very far away with a long lens and a tripod to get the beauty shots. And then for the shots that we wanted that were very intimate, where you're in the action, I had a very small camera called an Osmo, which is basically a GoPro on a little GoPro on a stick, and I would hold that, and then I would wear a microphone. I would wear it, and I would hold it out toward the horses. So it wasn't, you know, you've seen like the TV crews with a big fuzzy thing and a pole, and the horses hate that. They hate that, and they spook from it. They don't like it at all. And so, but with this, if I could just be a little camera and a little microphone, the horses just read me as a person. And so I could be right where they were, and we got, I got to where I was pretty, initially I didn't quite get it, but then after doing it for a long time, I got pretty good at it. And so you'll see some of the shots, you're really right there with the horses, which was really important for me, was not to be all distanced. And so that was fun as a filmmaker to figure out the way of working like that was a new challenge that was fun.
And was there a critical situation that you said, oh, this was a nightmare for me, and I was thinking, maybe together with your husband, oh, we have to stop the project because of this?
Yeah, I would say that a couple times financially, if we had not been able to raise money at a couple times, we couldn't have done it. We had to raise a lot of money for, you'll see the film, we actually use real Olympic footage, and that is so expensive that I negotiated for the right to do that for 4 years. And so that was super expensive, and had we not been able to find the money to do that, for example, that was just one time, we couldn't have made the film that we wanted to, you know? I mean, we were on such a budget that, like, one time I was filming in the UK and driving, you know, a manual on the wrong side of the road, and I got three flat tires before I even made it to, I think it was, can't remember, it was Burley or Badminton, but I was just like, you know, it was just, but that's, you know, that's what you do, and you don't feel like a hero or a champion at that point. You really feel like defeated, you know. But
this is no history, nicht? Because it is finished, the project, and this is important, and it's I think it's a highlight having this project finished with a gold medal winner and all these things. And when you look from this from the side of the sport, our sport now is very much in the discussion. Eventing sport, pure dressage sport, show jumping, traveling a lot with horses all over the world, riding the horses not in the correct classical way. Welfare of horses. We have in Germany a lot of discussion, social license. What do you think from your point of view, from these ideas which we can see every day, every minute, every second in the social media? How do you think about it?
I mean, that's a big question. I mean, for one, to be clear, I'm not the expert on this. So, I mean, just as an eventer, as a person, you know, who's been riding her whole life, I think now is a time where a lot of givens are being challenged, not just with horses, but, you know, how we treat people who are traditionally excluded, people are examining many a thing. And I think it's correct to examine our relationship to horses, right? And I think it's correct to make sure that they're being trained properly. But I think also that the public needs to be educated, because I think that there are things that can be seen or perceived as being mean that aren't, you know, that people don't understand what they're seeing. But I will tell you that, like, this film was subject, like, I showed the film to the FEI before it was completely finished, because I wanted to make sure that they understood what the film was, and also if they had any concerns, that we could discuss those, you know? And so, I mean, in the making of the film, they're really happy, but they thought, you know, the film does show horses falling. That is part of the sport, right? And so you have to acknowledge the horses, that it's a risky sport, but the horses also love it. So it was really mm-hmm. important for me to kind of walk that really fine line by not whitewashing the sport, but also it was really important for me to show people who don't ride how the horses, like, they're keen to do it. As you know, like, these horses, if you cannot make it to the upper level mm-hmm. without loving, they love what they do. Yeah. They love cross country. They look for those flags, mm-hmm. you know? So yeah, it's a delicate time, but I think it's right to ask the questions mm-hmm. and to insist on maybe a little higher standard of, you know, care and competence.
I think if a horse is not well educated, not well trained, if the horse doesn't trust the rider, would never jump big fences, cross country, show jumping,
yeah.
wouldn't jump into the water, wouldn't jump ditches, and so on. Do we see a second project from Jesse in the future?
Yeah, for sure. I'm working on one now about Elon Musk.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to see a second one about eventing, but you never know. I mean, I would never say never. I've been wrong a lot of times, but yes, I will keep making films. I won't be running to make an independent film anytime in the near future, because that's a really difficult road and it's a really difficult time to do that right now. But yeah, I love what I do.
Not eventing, but from the equestrian world, something, because we need people like you in our world.
I don't know. That remains to be seen. If I found the right partnership and the right project, I wouldn't rule it out.
Yeah. I think that is nice that you say this, and I hope many people had listened till now our podcast. Maybe there is someone who will call you and say, yes, I want to do a project with you. And I'm crossing my fingers that we will find someone so that you will have a new project in our horse world. I say thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. It's fun. It's fun for me to be here in Germany, you know. It's very different from California. It's very far. Feels like another world a little bit.
And we are happy that you're here. I hope you will come back again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Das war der Christoph Hess Podcast. Vielen Dank, dass ihr dabei wart. Wenn euch die Folge gefallen hat, abonniert den Podcast, um keine spannenden Episoden zu verpassen. Schaut auch in die Shownotes, um mehr über das Projekt Harmonie, Fairness und Fairplay von Anrecht Investment zu erfahren. Bis zum nächsten Mal und denkt daran, gemeinsam können wir den Reitsport positiv verändern.